many here that have never been in one of my meetings. I just wanted to let you know a little bit about myself. My name's Maria Magruder. Obviously, you know that by now. I'm from Florida, Pensacola, Florida, where there's no snow. And I love snow. Don't get me wrong. Vicky will tell you I like snow. But how I got to Florida is a long story, so I won't tell you that whole story. But I will tell you a little bit about this ministry. This ministry, the actual ministry, actually started in the villages of Alaska, going to villages like Bethel, Nome, Elam, out there in Kotzebue. I don't know if anybody knows where those are, but they're out there in the tundra in Alaska. And when I had moved up to Alaska, I was running from God. And it was my second trip up there, actually, because the first trip I was with Miss Vicky and I was all holy. But the second trip up there, I wasn't living for the Lord. And I had such a strong desire in my spirit to go to Alaska, not for the outdoors, not because Alaska is a beautiful place, but because I knew if I didn't go to Alaska, all I knew was I was going to die. That was it. I was at the point that I was drinking to the point where I would pass out. I was at the point where I was slashing my arms with razor blades. I had become so depressed. I was working at a company called Microsoft. I had everything that a single woman can want at Microsoft. I had the stock options. I had the fast car. I had the motorcycle. I had the house on the river. There was no reason for me to be depressed. But I was depressed, and you cannot taste God and then try to run away. And I had become so unhappy, and that depression had set into the point that it was a spirit on me, and that was what was causing me to slash my arms and all that crazy stuff and that drinking. It became a spirit. I wasn't possessed, but I was oppressed by a devil. And so when I knew that I had to run to Alaska, I knew that something didn't change in my life. You know, when you get to that place of desperation, you know something's got to change. Something's just got to give. Something's got to break. And so I went into my boss's office and I said, man, I don't know why, but I need a month off. I got to go to Alaska. Have you ever heard this story? Anyways, and he didn't want to lose me. So he said, okay, you know, take your month off, you know, just come back. So that was in 1996 that I left. I packed my truck. I put my motorcycle in the back. I drove up to Alaska. And in 2013, I'm still on vacation. Hallelujah. God got a hold of my life up in Alaska. Everywhere I turned, the Lord would direct me smack dab into a wild Holy Ghost woman of God, no matter where I turned. And it was like I couldn't get away from God, you know, because I thought I was running from Him, but it was a trick. Anyway, so once I got my heart right with the Lord up in Alaska, God just started just boom, 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 just lining things up. And within, I think it was in 7 to 9 months, He had me in full-time ministry with another ministry, traveling, you know, the villages of Alaska, where no man wants to go, so they send women. Right, Vicky? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then I met Doctors Christian and Robin Harfouch. Has anybody heard of them? Anyone? A couple people, two. All right, well, I ran in smack dab into Doctors Christian and Robin Harfouch. They're my mother and father in the faith, and they're the ones that have licensed and ordained me and given me permission to come see you. Let me off the leash a little bit. Hallelujah. Praise God. They've released me into full-time ministry. I've been with them for 12 years in their Bible school, studying the Word of God, studying the things of miracles, studying the things of healing, and studying the supernatural things of God through International Miracle Institute. I am still a student of International Miracle Institute. I will never stop being a student of the Word of God. We can never leave studying the Word of God. Who cares about the paper on the wall? Did you get any anointing? Did you get any power? Praise God. We got to stick with the Word of God, but it's got to be backed up by that anointing. It's not enough to just know the Word and quote the Word. You got to be able to flow in the Word. Hallelujah. And so, glory to God. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be where I am today. I know I don't know where I would be if it wasn't for Doctors Christian and Robin Harfouch, and I just love them dearly. I'm a disciple. I'm planted there in Pensacola, Florida. I also help run their global humanitarian efforts. Last year, we sent over $500,000 in medical supplies to Lebanon for the Syrian refugees that are fleeing the border. We've set up medical clinics in Ghana and a couple other places in Africa. Their places are slipping my mind right now, but we are very heavily into humanitarian efforts. We right now have 5 truckloads, literally, of dorm room furniture that contains beds, tables, school desks, those kinds of things that will help orphanages, help get some of these people in third world nations that are sleeping on the floor, off the floor, just things like that, the love of God. And so we want to deliver the gospel as well in power and as well as humanitarian. And so I've been running for the last 12 years doing all that. Praise God. But everywhere we're going with this ministry, we're literally seeing just amazing miracles, bones instantly healing, titanium coming out of people's bodies, and praise God, we're seeing cancer healed, tumors dissolve, people with curvature of the spine just totally straight, skeletal problems, issues, bulging discs, it's just over with, baby. Just came from Turlock, California, did 3 meetings out there. And we had people just years of pain with their back, and God just straightening out their backs and straightening out their knees and putting cartilage where there was no cartilage. And we just had literally miracle after miracle after miracle just popping like popcorn. So we're in those times. Hallelujah. And everyone gets to do it. That's what I love about the Word. So it's not just for the woman or man of God up front, but we all can move in that. Hallelujah. Is there a Bible in the house? Hey! Hallelujah. Glory to God. So tonight I'm here. How many are here? Tomorrow I jump on a plane and I run up to Seattle. So we're jam-packed with the schedule on this particular trip. Those of you know me, I'm normally here 2, 3, 4 nights. And so tonight we're just here just this one night only, but I'll be back as long as Pastor Wayne has me back. Praise God. So, but we plan on frequenting here and continuing to sow the Word of God here and seeing permanent change. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that's a little bit about myself. Now tell me about yourself. I like to drink lots of water here. Hallelujah. All right. Where should we start? Let's start in Galatians. Got your Bibles? Let's turn there. Let's look at them. You'd be proud to know I have no notes tonight. Hey, the radicals say. All right, Galatians 6. Oh, you know what? I can't read that. Sweet, we got glasses. All right. All right, Galatians 6, chapter 6. We'll start with verse 9. It says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." One translation says, "We shall reap if we do not give up." I mean, how many people, come on, let's be honest. When you're walking the things of God and you're believing for the promises of God, how many of us have gotten a little weary at times? It says, "Do not allow, let us not grow weary." Don't allow the weariness. "But we shall reap if we do not lose heart." So it's not saying that if you get a little weary that you're not going to reap. That's not what this verse is saying. It's saying that don't give up, right? So the only way you can fail in God is if you quit. It doesn't matter how many times you fall and had to get back up. As long as you get back up, praise God. But what I want to bring attention to is, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season." Due season. What's a season? It's a space of time where certain things can happen. You can expect certain things to happen. We have seasons here, don't we? We have obviously right now we're in winter. We don't expect right now to walk outside these doors and see a whole garden full of flowers in full bloom, do we? Right? Talk to me a little bit tonight. So we have seasons. So we have fall time, In fall time, we expect to see maybe the leaves turn a little bit of color and some leaves falling, right? Springtime, we're going to start seeing the trees starting to bud and some flowers, you know, peeking through the soil. So things are going to start getting green, and we're seeing the snow receding, right? In winter, of course, we expect snow. So we don't expect, like I said, a full garden of flowers out there in winter. We don't, in summer, we don't expect to walk outside and see 6 feet of snow, do we? There's seasons. There's things that are due in those seasons. We have seasons of sowing, right? And seasons of reaping. So due season, there are things that are due in this season. And we make our decisions. We make our decisions on our perception. On our perception of what time it is now. We make our decisions on our perception of what time it is right now. If your perception right now is looking around and seeing lack and poverty, then your decisions will be made around lack and poverty. If your perception right now is full of fear, war, and rumors of war, and oh my God, the end times, we are in the end times, but if your perception is fear-based, then your decisions are going to be fear-based. Your perception of what time it is very important. And the Lord has sent me here to tell you tonight that it is due season, is what time it is for you. Due season of things that you can begin to expect in God that you've never seen before. Due season. See, you got to look at what time it is through the cross. Through the cross. There's a bigger one. See, when Jesus paid the price on the cross, he purchased for us salvation. Salvation is an all-encompassed word. It's an all-inclusive word. It includes protection, prosperity, healing, deliverance, all those things, as well as a ticket to heaven. Hey, hallelujah, thank God for that. But includes all those things on earth because we don't need deliverance in heaven. We've been delivered at that point. Praise God. But the victory on the cross. See, the cross isn't subject to the world conditions. Ever. The cross is never subject to the world conditions. So that's what time it is for you. I've come to tell you that it's due season. It's due season. You shall reap where you have not sown. It's due season. When you've been believing God for that miracle, I'm telling you, it's due season. My God. It's due season. Due season. Due season. Due season. She knows what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. So when challenges and things, see, Jesus promised us trials and tribulations. We're going to have them. But when they come at you, you got to adjust your little bifocals there, your perception. Go, wait a minute. No, that's not my time. My time is due season. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Due season. Somebody help this man find a seat. Hey. Hey. Due season. My God. My God. That means, when you know what a bill's due? Except it's due from you. It's the other way around. See, it's due from heaven to you. There are things in this next season, you can expect. You can expect that when you're looking for a job, that your application's going to the top of the pile. You can expect that if you're needing a raise on your job, and you're not walking in the flesh, but you're walking by the things of the Spirit, that you're going to get a raise or get some sort of outside provision that's going to make up for what you need. If you got an incurable disease, well, you better expect it to be curable by heaven. It's expected. It's due season. If you're looking at a legal situation right now that's facing you, and you don't know how in the world it's going to come out, I'm telling you, it's due season. If you're an independent contractor and you're believing for contracts, I'm here to tell you, the contracts, you better start expecting contracts one after the other, because it's due season. But how do we not grow weary in such a world that everywhere that we do look with our perception is sin? We're constantly being bombarded from the outside. Gay marriage, right? Pills for everything. Oh my God, take this pill. It'll make everything better. But hey, but wait, there's more. There's all these side effects. Liver damage, high blood pressure, kidney failure, and blah, 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 blah. Then finally, death! Yeah, take our pill! And all these things from the outside are just bombarding the people of God with their perception. You can't even go to the store without looking at a magazine rack with a bunch of half-naked people on it. And being bombarded just from drugs to fear-based things and people, the news. You turn on the news, oh my God, you don't want to watch the news. You got to plug into God's news for due season and what time it is, because the news does not apply to you. See, the cross is not subject to the world conditions. That means you are not subject to the world conditions. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? It's the Lord that makes a road throughout the wilderness. My God. God is bigger than it all. Big God. But when we're so bombarded with our perception and things that we're seeing from the world, there's keys to not being weary. There's keys to not losing heart. One of those keys is to constantly be filled daily with oil, constantly be filled with the anointing, constantly be filled with the Spirit of God from head to toe. Blessed are those that thirst and hunger for righteousness.
I want you, Jesus.
Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, that press into heaven. Your faith pulls things right out of heaven. What does blessed mean? You're blessed. My God. We got a wild bunch in here tonight. My God, we need the anointing like we've never needed it before. Greater anointing. It's what we need. When we stay filled, then we can keep our perception in line with due season and in line with what the cross has purchased. My God. But there's things with staying filled. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 9. But you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Let's all thank the Lord that Conrad has pants tonight. The people of you that don't know the story, maybe another day. This church does wear pants. It's okay. But you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Sometimes we forget that key word, receive. Got to receive. It's a transaction. If I give you a gift and you just set it aside, never even looked or opened it, did you receive it? No. It's a transaction with the anointing. We have to be able to receive it. But you shall receive power. Receive. Just got to receive it. And when he said, and you shall receive power, he didn't ration the power out. There's no limit to the power. Heaven anointed Jesus, said, with a spirit without measure. There's no limit to the power of God and the amount of power that you can tap into. And God knows we need the power of God in these last days. But you can flow in the amount of power as you have revelation of the Word of God. But it's not enough just to know the Word of God. You got to flow in the Word of God. You got to receive the anointing. Hallelujah. Greater anointing. Due season is what time it is. Yeah. Are we in Matthew chapter 9? We're going to start with, hallelujah. You know, ma'am, we're in the middle of a word of God. I'll change your life forever. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It says, while he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live. So Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And suddenly, a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting the things of the past, but pressing forward to the things that lie ahead. See, there's things that lie ahead that's due season. And those that have been walking in the Spirit, because the verses above due season talk about sowing to the Spirit or sowing to the flesh. So depending how you've been walking is what you're going to receive. And if you've been walking of the flesh, it's not too late to make an adjustment and just switch over to the Spirit. God's so good. But Paul said, this one thing I do, leaving all those things behind. And he was the most educated man of all the Pharisees and the religious leaders of that time. I mean, he had years and years and years and years of training of the Word of God. An educated man. We're talking like a Harvard man. He's like, I'm just going to put all that aside. And God, I just want what you have for me. I am hungry and desperate for you, God. And I'm reaching forward to those things that are ahead. And I press toward the goal of the prize, which is the anointing. This woman here, this is the short version of the issue of blood right here. But we all, you know, we've been around the Word. We know the story. We know she had an issue of blood for 12 years. We know that she spent everything she had in 12 years. She went to every doctor there was in town and out of town. And every doctor came back and said, there is nothing we can do for you. Every report came back from the doctors, there is nothing we can do for you. She heard that for 12 years straight, Pastor Sherry. Can you imagine what that must have done to her mental abilities and her heart and trying not to become weary and trying not to lose heart? Can you imagine? My God, to have that kind of a report coming at you year after year. But then what made this day different when Jesus is coming through the crowd? She had a choice to make. Here comes Jesus, the man of God. He's deity, he's God, but he is not God on earth. He is a man anointed by the Holy Ghost. He didn't do any miracles until he got the anointing. So what makes us think we don't need the anointing? He didn't heal an ant without the anointing. He came to this earth to become human, like you and me, so that we could become like him. So what made this day any different? Choice. We have a choice every day of how we're going to think and how we're going to talk. And she chose to take 12 years and cram it in a ball and throw it behind her. And saying, today is due season for me. That when I touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. She changed her perception of what time it is. There's a healer on the premises. And her perception began to change. Our perception of what time it is so important. Isn't that amazing? Your perception can direct your life one way or the other. It's crazy. Looking unto the author and finisher of our faith. What are you looking at? Are you looking at your bills? Are you looking at your motorcycle? Are you looking at where the next rent payment's coming from? If we give those things more attention than we do God, then those things, we've put those things above God. We got to thank God. We got to thank him. All that stuff's taken care of. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all those things will be added unto you. So this woman, she grabbed a hold of that. She took her pass and she shoved it back there. She was not going to let that thing rule her. Don't let yesterday's experiences dictate your expectation of what you're expecting God to do today. Don't let yesterday's experience, what happened yesterday, what happened last week, what happened last year, dictate what you're expecting from God today. Because he's not doing that. Even if it was good, even if it was something good last week, he's going to do greater and better than you've already experienced. You've experienced an amazing amount of performance in God of miracle after miracle after miracle. Those kids are miracles. Got nations running around your house, girl. My God. Greater and better, greater anointing. Greater level of anointing. Greater level of anointing for your body. Greater level of anointing for your church. My God, greater level of anointing for your people. Greatest year you've ever had. My God. My God. All right. We didn't even get to her being healed yet, did we? For she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour. When Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy... Okay, because at the beginning, we totally forgot about the beginning because I got so caught up in the woman. Okay, let's go back to 18 just for a second. While he spoke these things, right, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, my daughter has just died. So we derailed from the daughter that just died, and we went to the woman with the issue of blood. She totally interrupted that miracle. Okay. How rude. Okay. So now we're back to the daughter that died. So when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing. Now, in the, over there in those areas, they actually hire professional wailers to wail at funerals. It's really interesting. So that's what was going on there. And he said to them, make room, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping. Make room, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping. Make room for what? Anyone? For the girl? That's, you know what, I used to think that. It's good, that's, I'm glad to know I was not the only one that thought that. Thank you. I feel better now. Yes, the anointing! I thought that for years. I thought make room for the girl. If you look at that, I thought it meant make room for the girl. The girl's dead. She doesn't need any room. Make room. One translation says, get out. But make room. How to not be weary in these times and be filled with the Spirit of God. But to be filled with the Spirit of God, we have to receive the power of God. There's a reception involved. It's not just a magic wand. There's a reception, an open spirit. But you got to make room in your life for the anointing. See, the anointing doesn't reside and live around doubt and unbelief. The anointing doesn't reside and live around fear. The anointing doesn't live and abide around anxiety. The anointing cannot be shared with anything that is ungodly. So anything, if it's your bills or your mortgage payment or anything that's pressing on you that's contrary to the Word of God is filling that space with worry. There's no room for the anointing to come in. You, if you have an important person come to your house like me, for example. Okay, governor of Nevada, whoever that is. I don't even know who that is. Let's say the governor of Nevada comes to visit your home. Are you going to, like, just have your house a wreck? Or are you going to clean some things up, maybe? Maybe, you know, get the laundry off the floor, especially get his dirty underwear off the floor, you know? I mean, come on, man. You know? You're going to clean things up. And don't worry about the elections and what happened in elections, because you know what? It didn't matter who won, because there ain't no man that can fix the nation where it was, fix this nation. Only God can fix this nation, and it starts with you and I. So don't even worry about it. We got to make room for the anointing. What's in your life that needs to be moved out? Past, things of the past to push behind so that the anointing, the power of God can move in. Hallelujah. Make room, for the girl is not dead but sleeping. Please notice the words not dead. What would happen if Jesus, anointed by heaven, said the girl is dead? Right, she'd be dead. Notice his confession. Even Christ himself. See, he was a man anointed by the Holy Ghost to do everything the way we're supposed to do it down here on earth. His confession, what was coming out of his mouth. Salvation is made, or confession is made unto salvation. And if healing, deliverance, protection, prosperity, all those things are all-inclusive and included in salvation, then you can say, confession is made unto my healing. Confession is made unto my deliverance. Confession is made unto my prosperity. But it works both ways. You flip it. Confession is made unto bondage. Confession is made unto fear. Confession is made unto lack and poverty. What's coming out your mouth? Is it blessing or is it cursing? Because the Lord will let you have either one. Whatever comes out of your mouth is what we get. Because you got the greatest spirit of the universe living in you. The same spirit that's holding the moon and the sun in place. The same spirit that causes all the rotations of the planets in the universe to happen. The same spirit that causes the seasons to come, summer and winter and fall. The same spirit that holds this planet together, the worlds and the universe. My God lives in you and me. That's the perception you need. We are not victims. We are victors. Confess your way to prosperity. Confess your way to that healing. Hallelujah. I could go a million different roads on that, but I want to stay focused on this word here. You guys doing okay? Okay. Hallelujah. Due season. Let's turn over to 2 Kings. The Word of God tonight is like a... I still don't know the name of it. What are those missiles that they get locked on their target and they just follow their target till they nail it? Scud, is that what it's called? The Word of God tonight's like a scud. So shall my word be that comes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void or empty, but it shall accomplish what I please. What that means is, what I please is you. That means when the word of God is being released tonight out of my mouth, it is literally being launched into the atmosphere, and the target is you. And it will not stop, and it will not fail until it hits your life. Due season. Second Kings chapter 4. Whew, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Start with verse 8. Now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman. And she persuaded him to eat some food. That word actually means constrained, if you look it up. So she literally constrained Elisha to eat food. That's somebody that's recognizing the anointing. That's somebody that's recognizing, I need more of God. She persuaded him to eat some food. So it was as often as he passed by that he would turn in there to eat some food. My God. And she said to her husband, look now. What's look now? Perception. What are we looking at? Looking into the author and finisher of our faith. Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Regularly. Did I say that right? Due season. Regular miracles. Regular basis. Due season. Now, verse 10, look at that. I don't normally do this, but for tonight, there's three words in that first sentence that I want you to take out. A small upper. I'm going to read over those words and leave them out. It says, please let us make room. Please let us make room on the wall and let us put a bed for him there. And a table and a chair and a lampstand. So it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there. And it happened one day that he came there and he turned into the upper room and lay down there. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite woman. When he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to him, say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. She wasn't doing this to get an award. She wasn't doing this making room to get something. She was doing this because she was hungry for more of God and hungry for the anointing and wanted to get close to the anointing. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. So he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, actually, she has no son and her husband is old. So he said, call her. When he had called her, she stood in the doorway. Then he said, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. But the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come. Due season. Due season is here. It is here right now. You can begin to expect more doors opened than you have ever seen in your life. You can expect to see the performance of God's word. See, what is the anointing? In due season, you can expect a greater anointing on your personal life, on your family, on your business, on your church, on your ministry. What is the anointing? The anointing is the tangible presence of God and the power of God that performs the word of God in your life, that performs, give and it shall be given unto you. That it performs the word of God, that performs that I should lose nothing, like Jesus said, that performs, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, that performs the word of God. It's what brings the word of God to manifest. What performs, stretch out your hand and it's unwithered. What performs, rise up off your sick bed. But the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha had told her. The prophet told her what time it was. Here to tell you what time it is. It's due season of greater anointing, wherever it needs to be placed in your life. What you need when you need it. What you need when you need it. My God. And the child grew. Now it happened one day that he went out to his father to the reapers, and he said to his father, my head, my head. So he said to the servant, carry him to his mother. Isn't that just like a man? I just take it to your mother. I'm just kidding. When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon, and then what? Died. I guarantee you that mother did everything in her natural ability to save her son. She's a good mom. She was waiting for that miracle. And all of a sudden, he's dying? I guarantee you she did everything that she knew in her natural ability. Folks, our efforts is never enough. It will not save what's going down, our efforts. We can only get our results when we're working our efforts, when we're doing it our way. It takes the anointing. It takes the anointing and the power of God to get God's results in our life. And there's been things, my God, there have been things that have tried to pull you away from God. There's been assignments placed on you. Keep your perception fixed on the author and finisher of your faith. God has good things for you. It's due season. There's been things that have been lost in your life. The Lord isn't showing me what they are, but there's been things that have been lost in your life. Get ready for restoration. There's been disappointments. Put them aside. Make room, because he wants to deliver gift to you. Jesus. Jesus. Our efforts are never enough. Sow to the flesh, you're going to reap of the flesh. We need the anointing for the supernatural results. And God, it's not just the anointing people. God has to be first. No other gods. Not Muhammad. Not Buddha. Jesus Christ. Hey, you want to go visit those temples? It's fine. My God still beats your God. What do I mean by that? Those other gods died dead. My God raised, resurrected from the cross, and he's alive and here right now. We're not bashing other religions. I'm just saying, our God's alive. You want to serve a dead God? Go ahead and serve a dead God. There ain't no results in it. I have never seen a miracle happen through my hands and say, in the name of Buddha, and had a miracle. It's only been in the name of Jesus. Not a white man's religion. If you think that, you're a fool. Jesus came for all peoples. He's got every nation in him. My God. My God. Okay, so the boy died. And then she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God. I love her faith. She takes the boy right back where he was birthed. Right where the man of God released from his mouth that you shall receive a son by this time next year. As soon as he spoke those words into the atmosphere, they were carrying literally that son, that boy. Because every word, our confession that we speak, carries the essence of God in it. When God said, let there be light in that word, there was light in that word. And when it hit the atmosphere, boom, there was light. Every word you speak that comes out of your mouth is full of the power of God. She takes him right back to where he was birthed, lays him on the prophet's bed. Then she called her husband and said, please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God. Oh my God, we got to run to God. Why are we trying to do it in our own efforts? We try to take our money to fix things and move it here and move it there. And what we need is God. Money doesn't fix things. It never fixes anything. If anything, it causes more problems. God doesn't have a problem with you having money. He just doesn't want money to have you. We're rich. Getting richer by the moment. Hallelujah. My God. She runs to the man of God. She said, I may run to the man of God and come back. So he said, why are you going to him today? And she says, what? Three words. Come on, someone. It is well. Her husband. Her son just died in her lap. She doesn't even tell her husband that he just died. She did not let out of her mouth that the boy was dead. Make note. Make note. It is well. Then she saddled a donkey and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you. The donkey and the servant are wealth. Those are wealth. Those are things of wealth in those times. She says, move forward. That is the word for 2013. It doesn't matter what's around you. It doesn't matter your opposition that's coming around you and the things that are trying to bombard you. It's due season. Keep moving forward. Do not slacken the pace. Don't be tempted to slow down in God. Keep moving forward. But this one thing I do, Paul says, leaving everything behind and pressing forward to the things ahead. Move forward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This lady is clearly in charge of her wealth. She's telling her wealth to drive forward, to drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace. It's okay to speak to your wealth. Tell it what to do. Seriously, tell your wealth what to do. Just speak to it. You might feel funny at first, but you'll get over it. Many of you probably haven't heard my testimony about my teeth were falling out. I spoke to my teeth for 3 months, man. And long story short. The dentist says I have the strongest roots he's ever seen in his entire life. The day before, they were all falling out. But I every day woke up and spoke to my teeth. The word of God's near me. It's in my heart. It's in my mouth. And if it's in my mouth, surely it's in my teeth. I look in the mirror every day and say that. You can't pull one of my teeth out if you tried. Not that you would, but if you do, I might slap you, but all right. And so she departed and went to the man of God on Mount Carmel. So it was when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to his servant Gehazi, look, the Shunammite woman, please run now to meet her and say to her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with child? And she answered, what? All together. It is well. One more time. It is well. So this is the man of God's servant here that she's talking to at this point. You would think, you know, maybe she would give the man of God's servant some information. I mean, this is the prophet's trainee. This is the prophet's disciple. But she doesn't tell him nothing. She's just like, it is well. Now, when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet. I don't know why. When I think of someone being caught by the feet, I think of like a baseball player sliding into home. She caught him by the feet. That's somebody that's hungry for a miracle. That's somebody that's hungry for God. But Gehazi came near. Look at this. Pushed her away. That little snapper. No wonder she didn't tell him nothing. We got to be aware of things that will push us away from the anointing. And you let that worry in. You know what worry means? It means to choke. It'll choke the life right out of you. It'll cause your body to age so quick. Oh, my God. Worry is one of the worst, horrible things. What do you think the enemy's trying to throw at us in the world? Fear, 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 fear. Worry, 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 worry. Economy, 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 economy. It's God's economy. God's earth. That means it's ours. Watch for things that would push you away. Stay away from those things. But the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me. So she said, did I ask a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then as soon as Elisha heard that, he told his servant to saddle up and take his staff and go run to the boy. But do you notice she didn't once even say to the prophet, my son is dead? She said, did I ask a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? She never once let come out of her mouth that my son is dead. Jesus didn't say the girl is dead. Jesus said the girl is not dead. Your confession. Make room for the anointing. The anointing is here to raise the dead to life. My God. Whatever seems dead in your life and stagnant in your life, I'm telling you, speak life to it. Speak what needs to happen to it. See, you can adjust the way you speak to things and let things come out of your mouth. Oh, that flu's going around. I hope I don't catch it. Well, don't catch it. I think I caught the flu. I got a cough. I think I'm catching the flu. You got to come out and say, I am healed. And if you can't say that because you feel like you're lying, then at least say, I'm in the middle of my miracle. Do you see the difference of what's coming out your mouth? Just adjust how you're saying things. Because you're putting faith in whatever comes out of here is coming out of the abundance of the heart. So there's faith involved. And with faith involved, man, it just activates everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then he said to Gehazi, yeah, get yourself ready. And he sends him off with the staff in his hand. And he goes and he does that. And he comes back and he says, but I lay my staff on the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives, verse 30, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. How many of us, when challenges come our way, we're immediately just going into worry, doubt, and unbelief and throwing the word out? We got to cleave and cling to the word of God and what the word of God says about us and not let it go. She didn't go with Gehazi back to her son to go. You would have thought that if the prophet sent the servant, to the son, to lay the staff on it, to raise him from the dead, that she would have wanted to go with him to see that miracle. But no, she decided to stay right with the word of God and not leave it. So he arose and followed her, and now Gehazi went ahead of them, and he laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Therefore he went back to meet him and told him, saying, the child has not awakened. He didn't have any anointing. He was in training. There's a time that there's a transference of anointing from a father in the faith to disciple, or a mother in the faith to disciple. And it's tangible and it's real. The first time Dr. Robin Harfouch laid hands on me, I received the miracle anointing. I didn't earn it. I didn't know nothing. But I was smart enough to know that I had a loaded gun and I needed to get training on how to work with miracles. So I've been training for 12 years and continue to train. Praise God. But there's a point when a disciple receives that anointing from their teacher. See, Jesus, he received the anointing from heaven, right? Elisha received the anointing from Elijah. So the Lord has set it up that the anointing is transferred through rank, through levels. Even Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Because Paul received his directly from heaven. So we can't put down the anointing that a man or woman brings. There's a reception. Have to be able to receive. All right. So the child had not awakened. When Elisha came into the house, there the child lying dead on his bed. He went in, therefore, shut the door behind the two of them and prayed to the Lord. The woman had put the boy in the room of the prophet, She had made room for her anointing, for the anointing to come in and raise her son. She had made room from the beginning when she saw the prophet passing by regularly. She made room. Miracles are passing by you regularly. Make room for them so that they can manifest in your life. My God. He went in, therefore, shut the door behind him, shut the door on doubt and unbelief. You know what? It's time to fast. Let's fast doubt and unbelief. What do you think? Let's do that. Yay! Yay! And he went up and lay on the child and put his mouth on his mouth and his eyes on his eyes and his hands on his hands. He stretched himself out on the child and the flesh, the child became warm. He basically put the anointing on it. Hey. If you don't have any anointing to put on it, you're not going to see much life. It's going to be our own results. We got to have the anointing, greater anointing, my God. And he returned and walked back and forth in the house and again went up and stretched himself out. Hallelujah. And the child sneezed seven times. A lot of sneezing. And the child opened his eyes and he called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite woman. So he called her. When she came to him, he said, pick up your son. My God. So the first thing she does, she doesn't go grab her son. She went in and fell at his feet and bowed to the ground. Then she picked up her son and went out. God first! Word of God first. The Word of God is the highest authority on this earth. The Spirit of God is the highest authority in the universe. We got to keep our confession straight in this due season. Because, oh, it's due you. Oh, it's due you. I'm telling you, I've already stepped into it, and it is good. Everywhere I turn, there's a door open. Everywhere I turn, there's a miracle. Everywhere I turn, there's a financial breakthrough. My God, it's just happening. You don't have to earn it. There's nothing you can do to earn it. Just receive the word. Just receive the word that it's due season for you. It's due season for your bodies. It's due season for your finances. It's due season for your businesses and your families. My God. My God. But God has to be first. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. We have to stay in a desperate place, hungry and thirsty for the things of God, and grab a hold of the Word of God and not let go. No matter what comes against you. See, you got to understand things are going to get worse for the world. That doesn't mean they're going to get worse for you. You are not subject to the things of this world. It doesn't mean you won't feel some of it, but you have to remind yourself, adjust your perception and your bifocals of what time it is. It's due season. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Everybody just stand up for a minute. I'm just going to check in with the Holy Ghost here. Is that all right? Let's just pray in tongues. Those of you that have your language, you don't have your language, just thank God. Just thank God. Is there anybody here that's having an issue with I believe it's their right arm. I don't know if it's stiffness or it's not functioning quite the way you'd like it to be. Is it from surgery? And it's stiff and it's not working properly, right? Yeah. Come on, come here. Lord talked to me about you yesterday. Isn't that awesome? God will talk to you. He knows you're going to be at a meeting. Hallelujah. The Lord just wants to heal that tonight. Is that okay? Come forward, sweetheart. Is there pain in your arm right now? Is it constant? I hate pain. Jesus. So you just had surgery. Shoulder surgery. Carpal tunnel. You just had a bad case, huh? Bless your heart. So you had surgery here? And here? Okay, and how long ago was that? A couple days ago? A couple years. And you've been in pain since then? Are you ready to get rid of that? Oh, my God. What's your name, sweetheart? Joan. Maria. Nice to meet you. I'm so glad you came. Praise God. Come here and face me, sweetheart. Thank you, Jesus. Do you believe Jesus sent me here to heal you today? Okay. My God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you for the anointing. I take authority over all pain in this arm right now. Come out of this body. Jesus. Everything that needs to mend, let it be mended. Everything torn, let it be untorn. Hallelujah. Thank you for full functionality of this arm today, God, with no pain. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for your anointing. Thank you, God, for miracles. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. How are you doing? How's the pain level? A lot better, right? You ready for it all to go away? How are you doing? Any pain? You mean for 2 years you had pain and now you don't have pain? Who's responsible for that? Jesus. Praise God. Come on, let me see it. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hey! Woo! Come on, give me a high five. One more, man. Hey! Come here, come here, come here, come here. We have a microphone? We don't have a microphone. I'll repeat it. Okay. You had pain for 2 years. What did you do to your shoulder? Bone spur. And then you had surgery and carpal tunnel surgery 2 years ago. And have you had full function of that arm, but it just pain or just pain? Just pain. All right, now you have full function of your arm and no pain. Now listen to me. Miracles are awesome, but let me tell you what happens. There's people that walk out of here and they lose their miracle. I'm going to tell you why. It's what we preach tonight. They start allowing things to creep into that room that they were supposed to make room for. God starts not becoming first, and then the pain starts coming back. So are you going to keep God first? Okay. Keep him first. And if any pain tries to come on you, you tell it to leave. Because see, the devil's a liar. He'll try to put a fake pain on you. It's not even a real pain. You tell that thing and take authority and you say, get off me. And you praise God and you love God with all your heart and all your mind. Okay? You go to good church? You here in Carson City? Okay. Stay plugged into your church, okay? Amen. Praise God. Praise God.
For more anointed resources, please visit www.mariakrinoch.com.